Jonte Porter getting betting advice from Shohei
The offshore accounts are popping right now.
I genuinely, this might just be like a curmudgeon take, but I think sports betting is so bad for the sports world. I think, like,
Well, the one thing is it brings so much money.
I know. Well, that's the thing. It's over. Like it's part of the sports world forever, and then it's only gonna become a bigger and bigger deal. I
Yeah.
bet you, like, we're like a couple of years. Like the small patches on the jerseys, just the beginning. They're gonna start looking like the European NBA or what the EuroLeague jerseys, where they
Where
have
they're
ads
covered,
all over it. It's, it
right?
won't be that long before that, and
Yeah.
it's
Or like NASCAR, like
yeah. It's like Bold
jackets.
Frogs, where, like, you know, once they had a bigger, slightly bigger logo on the chest, and then they had another small logo on the side, like.
And then once that becomes normal, you can add more.
Yeah, for sure. Even like you look at the court of NBA games right now, and the amount of ads like on the court is crazy. It's insane. But we should talk about Jonte Porter.
Yeah.
You're kind of a Jonte Porter. You were kind of a Jonte Porter believer. I feel like
Yeah.
you were always slightly higher on him than me. Where I was like, he's not a great third string center, and you were like, he's a good third string center.
Well, it was mainly like we really needed a center, and
Yeah.
he was like doing center stuff, and so I was happy. And
Yeah.
honestly, I think I was just catching him on the right like days, because like when I looked at his stats, I was like, how the hell is he a 40% like from the field
Yeah.
shooter? He does shoot threes actually, but he doesn't make them. One second, Shohei's thing is about gambling too.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Apparently his translator
Yeah, I knew that. I knew it was about the
was
translator.
placing bets
Oh, I
on
thought he
stuff.
was stealing his money.
Apparently, all these bets that were being made from Shohei's money. Oh no, it was my translator was stealing it and spending the money. Oops.
I
And the
see.
translator was like, yep, totally my fault, completely my fault. Don't look into it further. It's all my fault. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I see.
And Shohei's like, oh yeah, I would never gamble on anything like that. I mean, that is gonna get swept under the rug. Like the MLB cannot, like Jonte Porter doesn't matter. If Jonte Porter
Right.
never plays another NBA game again, there's like maybe, I think, what do you think? Over under like 50 people on this planet who care.
Yeah, exactly. And they all
Yeah, and they're
know
like his friends and family.
him.
Like Shohei Ohtani's like the biggest baseball star since like the last person who was like that much of a household name was like maybe even before our time. Like I can't remember anybody when we were maybe Barry Bonds is the
Right.
last person who, you know, he never had
Any problems?
any scandals or problems or anything like that.
Yeah, it'd be like if Steph Curry did it, right?
Well, like if it came out that it was true that LeBron was doing steroids his whole career, does he not get make into the Hall of Fame because of that?
No, he certainly does.
I don't know. Like, what if he got banned from the NBA for life? Like, it comes out that he was using steroids like his whole fucking career.
I don't know.
Like, how do you keep that guy? Like, how like, you can't retire his jersey if he played on your team. No fucking shot. He literally was a cheater. But at the same time, he's fucking LeBron James. If Cleveland doesn't retire his jersey, they might as well move that franchise somewhere else. That would be crazy. And that, I mean, that's kind of what, not really, like, LeBron and Shohei is different. Like, Shohei has a chance in 10 years to be where LeBron is now.
Right.
But yeah, that's like the MLB is going to sweep this under the rug as much as possible for
For
the
sure.
Shohei one. For the Jonte one, it's over for him. He's
Yeah.
never playing another NBA game. It looks pretty like.
Well, I mean, if it's true, it's still all there's still investigations ongoing as we record.
DraftKings had like 2 nights during the season
Right, we're
where
huge outliers.
he was the biggest earner of any player in the NBA on their sports book. Like the most money earned was on Jonte Porter prop bets.
Oh,
And let me tell you, that alone is a huge red flag. Because like, I don't care if one person's putting like a ton of money into that. Like, I bet you on any given night, the highest earner is probably LeBron if he's playing, or Steph if he's playing, or
wow.
Giannis. Like those
Right.
kinds of dudes just get bet on by everybody
Of
both
course.
ways every single game. There's no way it would ever be Jonte Porter,
Yeah,
no matter how crazy the line is. Like,
like we know people who don't watch the NBA, but if they're watching a game, they'll bet. And usually they're gonna bet on like the few players they know.
yeah. Like, I would think, my assumed top five most bet on players this year would be like LeBron, Steph. I think Luka probably gets a lot of bets because he puts
Yeah.
up a lot of different stats, or you can do tons of different props with him. Maybe Giannis and Jokic would be my guess. But like, no, Jonte Porter is probably like 400 something on that
Yeah.
list. Like, yeah,
Like he's not even like top five in Raptors betting.
it seems it's he's not even like top 12 in Raptors betting this
Right.
season. I bet you more money has been put on like Pascal Siakam
Right.
but as a Raptor than Jonte Porter as a Raptor this season, even though
Right.
Jonte's probably, I don't even know if he's played more games. I would assume, probably not. Probably comparable amount of games. They're probably both around 30. But that's wild. I mean, the nice thing is like, if this came out that was, like, Scotty, I'd be like, fuck me. Yeah. Thank God it's Jonte Porter.
Exactly.
Like, it sucks. And, like, if I mean, I don't have to feel bad because, like, if you're telling people to bet the under on your games and you're not trying for Raptors games, I actually fucking hate you.
Right.
Like, I actually hate you. You're intentionally throwing Raptors games. Also, you
can't feel bad. It's like he made his bed and he's got a line. Like, he knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just got caught.
Yeah, and that's not even, like, something where it's like, oh, I didn't know that you're not allowed to fucking tell people to bet the under on your games and then leave throw. 4 minutes in with an injury. With being like, I have an illness 3 minutes into a game where people are placing more prop bets on you than any other day of the year. Wow. True. Okay. And he has a history of there was a tweet a couple years ago that got dug up too, where a bunch of his followers was pushing them towards a fake PS5 scam
to get
fake PS5s where they put a bunch of money into it and he didn't end up giving money back. He's been really active trying to get people to invest in certain cryptos that he's invested in Twitter as well.
Damn.
Yeah, man. I mean, the thing with him is, like, Michael Porter Jr. Yeah, I mean, Michael Porter Jr. gets paid enough that, like, you know, whatever. Like, Jonte doesn't have to worry about shit.
True.
He has a brother who makes, like, $30 million a year. So, he's not going to go broke. His family will be just fine. And so that's at least nice. Because, mm-hmm. like, it would fucking, like, I don't know if he has kids, but, like, imagine that was your fucking dad, man. Like, holy shit. That is so bait. That is so bait. Like, how do you even explain that to your family? Like, if you have, like, young kids, like, yeah, why aren't you playing in the NBA anymore?
I messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, everyone makes mistakes, for sure. But it's a pretty dumb one. And if it's true that he was throwing games and getting people to bet on it, then he should never play another NBA game again.
For sure.
I don't even think that's
I mean, he's kind of blessing us. We want to lose games.
Sure, but he's also kind of not blessing us because, like, realistically, any player who's going to sub in instead of him is as good, if not better than him. Like, he's one of the worst that we have to throw out there.
Yeah.
Although, honestly, we're at the point in the season now where we're putting guys on 10 days where, like, there's way too many dudes.
Yeah, I don't even know these people.
Fun fact about people who might play games for the Raptors before the end of the season. Marquise Noel is healthy and is back for the next G League 9-to-5 game. He's been injured since January, so he'll be back from that. Russell Westbrook is also back from injury. Fun news, he'll be back, I think it's tomorrow, whenever they play the next game. Unless he plays...
Yeah, he's on my fantasy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, we're facing each other. We're in a tight matchup. We're in a freaking tight matchup.
So lucky. I should be winning, but LeBron's out, Vic's out.
Yeah, you mean how Kat is out, and Mitchell's out, and Randall's out, and Jalen Johnson's out. Bro, I just signed Caris LeVert onto my team. I don't want to hear anything from you for this.
You're not... Oh, you are playing him. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. The other side's really tight, too. The other semifinals.
It is.
It's coming down to the wire for fantasy.
This will be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, moving on from fantasy, as much as I'm sure that you guys care about it.
Our fantasy.
Yeah, about our fantasy teams. We're going to do the awards later, but first, I've got a nice little fun segment, a feel-good segment for you, if you will.
Okay.
I've got the injury success stories. I've got about 8 different players who are considered high injury dudes over the past couple years who have had very healthy seasons, and I would just like to shout them all out. First and foremost, Chet Holmgren, 0 games last year, hasn't missed a game this year.
Yeah. Sick. 0 games played last year, 0 games missed this year.
Good for him. I mean, like... Obviously, the league's a better place with him playing, so him missing his rookie year sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis, 67 out of 71 games this year.
I know. I was like, when we were making our awards, because you have to play minimum 65, and I was looking at certain players, and I'm like, oh, is Booker going to hit the 65? Oh, he only needs to play 7 out of 10. He'll probably hit it. And then I was like, oh, is Anthony Davis in? I was like, oh, he's definitely in.
Yeah.
Good job, AD.
It's his most played game since 2017-18 season, so his second last New Orleans season.
Okay.
And he's at 67 games right now. I think he's playing his 68th tonight. He's only played more than 68 games twice, 2 seasons in his career. So this would be his 3rd season. Very healthy season. He's only missed 4 games, so he's on track. I would imagine he misses a couple down the stretch, but like a 75-game season would be insane for Anthony Davis. Kawhi Leonard has played 65 out of 71 games. He's only missed six. It's his most played since the 2016-17 season. So since before
the injury.
Yeah, before Zaza took out his legs. And he has played 65 and has only played more than 66 twice in his career. Wow. So he's only a couple games played. He'll have like his second highest games played season this year. Good for him. His teammate, Paul George, has also played 65 out of 71 games, which is already his most since the 2018-19 season, pre-bubble. That's MVPG season.
Nice.
Kevin Durant has played 65 out of 72 games. That's the most that he's played since he tore his Achilles, which is a great story.
Nice.
Steph Curry has played 64 out of 70 games. He hasn't hit 65 since the 18-19 season when we played him in the finals.
Oh, wow.
And hasn't hit 70 since 2016-17. And so he's going to have...
Is 16-17 unanimous MVP? Or second?
No, it's the year after it. First year with KD. So he's going to have one of his higher games played seasons of recent memory. LeBron has played 62 of 71 games. 68 is his most in a Lakers uniform. That's his second in MVP voting, finals MVP season 2020.
When Giannis gets MVP that year?
Yes.
Okay.
Giannis gets MVP number two.
Right. Yeah, because Harden was second in his first.
Yes. That was a fun MVP race. 68 is...
It was really fun, 'cause they had legit beef.
Yeah, they had real beef. If LeBron plays seven more games, it'll be his most in a Lakers uniform, and that would mean seven of his next 11 games, which honestly I doubt he'll play, because he's not playing tonight, which isn't counted on there, so it's actually seven of his last 10 games.
Okay.
And I just don't think that. Like, once they're in a position where they're far enough away from the teams on either side.
Right, where like, they're not going to make up ground or lose ground.
Yeah, they're just going to shut both those guys down, especially once LeBron hits 65 games.
Like, yeah.
Whatever. And then Zion Williamson, 61 is his career high for games. He has played 60 games so far this season.
Sick.
So with 11 games to go, he's got to play two to get over his career high. So Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Zion Williamson. Guys who range anywhere from arguably the greatest player of all time to arguably a future Hall of Famer to could have a Hall of Fame career if he can stay healthy. All of these dudes this season have played the most games since they played since before the COVID, like, pandemic.
Right. That's sick.
That's insane.
Do you think it is the rule change, or do you think it's just they just happen to work out?
Because
especially Kawhi will always say stuff like he's like, yeah, when I'm healthy, I'll play. And I've been healthy. Like people ask him when he plays, why he's playing.
I think the rule change, the only people I think it affects is LeBron and Steph. Because it kind of felt like in previous years they would miss games to, like, ticky-tack stuff.
Right.
Like, Kawhi missed a full season a couple years ago. And, like, Zion missed a full season a couple years ago. Right. AD, like...
KD, same thing.
AD was nowhere close to 65. Like, if there's the 65-game minimum 2 years ago, like, he played 40 games. Like, he's not playing that extra 25 games. Yeah. Paul George, like, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, where he, like, injured his elbow in, like, December or January and just didn't play the rest of the season, the year that Kawhi was out. And Chet obviously missed all last year. So I think for like LeBron and Steph, sure. The two guys who look like they're like going to finish like the closest to 65 of all those dudes. But I think the rest of them, like I think all those dudes want to play basketball.
Yeah.
And the thing about all those dudes is like every single one of them, there's pretty much no argument that you could make that's like they don't try hard on the NBA court. Like they don't care. Like they don't, whatever. They're just there for the paycheck. Like we're talking about Hall of Famers, all of them. And even like Chet, who like obviously the least time in the league of any of these dudes, is super competitive. I do not think he wants to miss games. I mean, I was shown by the fact that he's missed zero this year. You could argue that Zion has had some where he's like,
people say a little bit about that.
Yeah, but I don't really see that with Zion. I think like, Everyone who looked at his build coming out of college is like, yeah, this guy's going to have injury problems.
Exactly.
And then so when he has injury problems, it's not that surprising.
Right.
It's like, I mean, knock on wood, hopefully this doesn't happen. But like if we look 5-6 years down the line and Wemby's missing 20 games a season, I'm not going to be like, whoa, where did this come from?
Right.
Like, of course. Like anybody who's like, especially like the 7-foot-tall athletic dudes.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that AD has so many injuries. If you watch AD play, he's guaranteed diving on the floor, jumping into the stands at least once per game.
Right.
Like, he's going for blocks.
And if he's not jumping in the stands, he's jumping a lot.
Yeah.
Both ends of the court a lot.
Yeah, and he's running, like, basically, like, rim to rim and then jumping, like, higher than most of the guards are jumping on the floor with that much weight on his frame.
Exactly.
He's, like, when he was on the Pelicans, he was like a little bit more of like the like skinnier athletic dude. Like he's big on the Lakers. Yeah. He is a large man. Anyway, that, I just wanted to talk about the, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very sick. Especially for these old dudes. Like KD, Braun, Steph, even Kawhi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like dudes like Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard, like, they're about to have their third highest games played of both their careers. They've both been in the league for, like, 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about Anthony Davis. If he hits 70 games this year, it'll be the third time in 12 years. Which wow. sucks. Which like, is not good. Like, you do not want Anthony, especially because, like, I mean, it could be worse. He's, the thing with all these dudes is when they've come back from their injuries, like, all of them have looked just as good. Like, a lot of these dudes have missed serious time, and all of them have looked great when they came back.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, like, the biggest fall off after the injury might even be Zion on this list as the youngest dude, where, like, it almost feels like he was a little worse this year than he was 2 years ago when he was last healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But even him, that was more early in the season. It feels like he's kind of played himself into shape. Like, there's some weight for things early in the season where people were like, oh, it's like he's looking pretty big.
And now he looks amazing.
Like, when we saw him in person, I did not think he looked fat.
No.
Fat is not how I describe that.
No, I would say scary.
Yeah, terrifying.
Jacked.
Yeah. All right.
Even CJ had a comment about it that he was saying Zion's, like, super locked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, CJ, the one thing I really like about CJ on that team is he's a really good vet on a team full of young players. Yeah. Like, especially, like, anybody who has that much involvement with the actual league and the Players Association, right. Like,
I feel like it's just the Players Association.
Yeah, good vet to have.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have the assistant president of the Players Association on my team. Oh, wait.
We did.
We do.
It's Temple?
Yeah, I think it is Garrett Temple.
Oh, right, okay, now. Okay. I thought it was Young. I knew it was one of the two.
One of the old guys.
It's Temple, nice.
Temple's been playing a lot recently, too. Thank God, we suck when Temple plays. Like, with Thad Young, it was like, wait a minute, this guy can actually play basketball a little bit. With Garrett Temple, it's like, oh, this is why this guy's been on our bench the whole year. The thing with Garrett Temple is, like, just because of his connections in the league and how good of a vet he is, like, he's going to get an NBA job as long as he wants one.
Exactly.
I mean, Udonis Haslem had an NBA job, I would say, probably 8 years after he was an effective player.
DeAndre Jordan at this point isn't really an effective player.
Yeah, facts. He has a higher ceiling than Garrett Temple, though. Like, when Jokic is hurt, they'll, like, play
yeah, exactly.
him, get minutes. But there's a difference between, like, what he does on, like, last year's team as a vet and what Jeff Green did on last year's team as a vet.
Right. Like, Jeff was, like, actually getting minutes.
Yeah, both of them were important in the locker room, I'm sure. But, like, when playoff games were happening, DeAndre Jordan was nowhere to be seen.
Exactly.
And, like, Jeff was, I mean, he was the last guy off the bench, but he was still getting, like, 14 minutes a game. Yeah. But he's played a lot in Houston this year, too. He's one of those dudes where it's, like, because his game's kind of built off athleticism, and so it's, like, he's, like, 37 or whatever. Like, how the fuck is he not falling off?
Yeah, yeah.
Feels like he's been, like, old man. It feels like 5 years ago. I was like, man, I can't believe he's still postering people. And then he'll, like, still, like, I think he's had, like, one or two posters this year.
Yeah,
they're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, you said as long as you've been following, he's been Uncle Jeff.
Yeah, because, like, he's back in Houston. I remember the first time he was in, like, Houston, like, a while ago, he was, like, a beast, like, dunking on people, like, and
that
he was already
part.
Yeah, and he was already kind of old man, like,
yeah, he was. Yeah,
yeah, like, sick. he like, if you told me that, like, he's, like, a better player in 2024 than Robert Covington is, given, like, both those guys on that team, I would have been like, you're cracked.
Right, and especially their play styles.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's do some awards.
You got
your book?
I do have it.
We'll both pick awards back and forth. You pick the first award that we'll do. We'll do the individual ones before we do, like, the teams,
okay.
But, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say let's get the bad ones out of the way, but I kind of want to start with one pretty good award. So let's go with, let's say Depoy.
Depoy is one of the easier awards I had to pick. Although it still was a little tough. I had Rudy Gobert as mine.
Same.
And my
the number one was really easy. And I think we each have three.
Yes.
Okay.
My two runner-ups are Victor Wembanyama and Bam Adebayo.
Okay. I did Victor Wembanyama and Jared Allen.
Yeah. I gave a long, hard look at Jared Allen. He's been a beast this year, too. And Cleveland has been really good on the defensive end. Basically, like, he missed that first month of this season. It felt like maybe even less.
That I thought he missed a lot, but he, I think he's already above the 65.
Oh, is he really? Wow. Yeah,
I remember looking at it like, oh, he's clearing it. Also, I was looking at some advanced defensive stats. The best defender in the entire NBA is this guy, Mason Jones. He played one game, but has a defensive rating of 63, which means he holds opponents to
63. What's Rudy's, like, fucking 88?
Rudy's second with 106. So shout out Mason Jones, the true GOAT.
Somebody tells you he's not going to hit the 65-game limit, but no, if he did, he would be in there.
But the stats a little weird. It's very team-based, because Spider Mitchell is there with 107.
Yeah, and I know Kat was pretty high up there, too.
Jokic is really high.
Yeah,
and, sure. And the Nuggets have an amazing defense. So I was like, is Jokic that good? I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, let the eye test.
The thing, I think, like, on-off numbers factor into that stat, like, okay, defensive rating at least a little bit.
Right.
And the thing that helps Jokic a lot is that DeAndre Jordan is usually their center, or they run small ball when he's not on the floor. And so, like, they're a lot better. They're already a good defense, but they're an even better defense when he's out there. So that's nice. And I feel like, obviously, like, his defensive rating being that high, it makes no sense. But I feel like he's people hate on his defense a little too much. He's not a sieve.
No, he's not a Sengun or something like that.
No. Even Sengun is, like, he's fine. The thing with Sengun is, like, he's a little beefier this year, so that helped him a little bit. But, like, he's just so dumb every once in a while. Like, yeah, he kind of has that hard thing where, like, if he's not, like, actively on somebody, he can just, like, be like, oh, fall what's asleep. Going on? What's going on up in the crowd? Hey, I think I see another Turkish dude up there. Get well soon. All right, next award. Let's do Most Improved Player. What do you got?
This is the hardest award, honestly, to pick. Because the other ones, it's just, like, you look at all these players, it's, like, who was the best?
Yeah.
This one's, like, who was the best relative to how they were last year? And I really, really wanted to give it to Colby White, but it's Tyrese Maxey.
I'm going to go completely off the board on this. I don't even think you have this dude in your top three. My pick is Cam Thomas.
Oh.
Tyrese Maxey, okay. I gave him a good, long, hard look. Good long hard look, because he put up like 20 points per game last year.
I know,
he
only jumps up 5.5 points a game and 2.5 assists.
Cam Thomas went from 10 points per game to 21 points per game, and he's at like 59 games played. Damn. So it's not even like a small sample size. Like, he's just getting buckets. Like, he gets fucking buckets this year. And obviously, like,
he fell off a lot.
He drives winning like 0%, it feels like, with all that scoring. But like doubling your scoring, especially when you're already in the double digits before, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to pick Cam Thomas for this.
That's a good pick.
I find MIP is another one where it's the most, like, up to what you think the award means. Like, people are always like, what does MVP really mean? But everyone kind of has a good idea, like, best player. MIP is so different because there's some people who it's like, they don't even think that the star jump, like, from a star to a superstar should, like, when Shea was in the running a couple years ago, they thought it was dumb.
And but I think that's one of the harder jumps. That's why I actually gave it to Maxey, because, like, because very similar to Cam Thomas is Colby Wright. Also, I don't know. I think I've never seen it spelled. I literally thought it was Kobe White the whole time. Like, Kobe Bryant.
K. Yeah, okay.
It's Colby with an L. But he upped him. I don't have the actual stats, but he improved 9.6 points per game and 2.4 assists on pretty solid shooting percentage.
Yeah.
And he's, like, been, like, not the guy, but he's, like, one of the guys on the team. Like, he gets, like, good defenders on.
Oh, for sure.
Especially when Levine's out.
The only thing that kept him off the list for me is it's kind of a tale of two seasons with him. Like, he was not the most improved player halfway through.
And until Levine's injury.
Yeah, basically until Levine's injury. But he was in consideration. My two other dudes in consideration were Alperen Sengun and Scotty Barnes. Just two dudes who were, like, good last year and great this year. No Kuminga. Kuminga was all right last year. And then he was, like, you know, good this year.
Yeah, he's really good this year.
I have a hard time giving a most improved player to somebody who averages less than, like, 13 points per
game.
True. But, yeah, I mean, like, Kuminga, good shout. Mm-hmm. Is that Kobe White and Kuminga were your other two?
Yeah, they were. It's Maxey, Kobe.
We had Kuminga. Zero overlap. We had zero overlap.
You didn't have Maxey?
No.
At all? Wait, so who are your three?
Cam Thomas, Alperen Sengun, and Scotty Barnes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Fair enough. I like the Scotty pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, the thing for me was just Cam Thomas. 21 points per game. That's a lot. Insane. It's insane. And, like, At the beginning of the season, I was like, no fucking way. But yeah, now he's just sitting there with that many points. I mean, the efficiency's down. He is not a super efficient player.
Right.
But it's just insane to me.
But like, Kobe's the same jump. 9.7 points to 19.3.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically Cam Thomas. I'm pulling up Cam Thomas stats.
Yeah, Cam went from 10.6 to 21.5.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's
16.6 minutes per game to 30.6 minutes per game.
Does he improve his assists, though? Because Kobe adds 2.5 assists.
Cam Thomas doubles his assists from 1.4 to 2.8.
Okay. All right, yeah, good pick.
Yeah, I mean, like, any of those six guys could end up winning it. I think it will be Maxey, because I think people like that star jump the most.
Yeah.
In general for this award, and I'm not too angry about that. I like watching Tyrese Maxey play.
Just because I don't want it to be one of the last ones we do, let's do Clutch Player of the Year.
Okay.
Honestly, I was literally like, because I did look what other people were picking. I looked at the betting odds and stuff, and I was like, how is Kyrie not up here? Kyrie is the most clutch player in the year, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But he didn't hit the game mark. Little side note before I give my pick. If you look at per game plus minus, maybe I should just save this at the end of the podcast, but the second highest plus minus in the clutch is Mason Plumlee.
And that's why I have him as my number one clutch player of the year.
6.5 plus minus. And then, but the number one's AJ Green. So I was like, okay, yeah, that shit doesn't matter. Mine's comp 10. Well, he's not comp 10 anymore, but DeMar DeRozan.
Okay. I had him second. I had Steph Curry as my number one. I had Dame as my three.
Same.
My problem with DeMar is, like, for some reason, I found myself watching a decent amount of late-game Bulls games this year. It feels like they get in a lot of close games, which is one of the reasons that he has a really good case for Clutch Player of the Year, is, like, he should not be taking as many shots late in the game as he does. Like, he shoots them well, and it's fine, but it's so bad for their team. And talk to any Bulls fan, and they'd rather have Kobe White taking those. He never gives the ball up to Kobe White, and the amount of actual last-second game winners that he's missed this year has to be higher than anybody else in the league.
But, you know, his worst skill is insane in the clutch. He's a better 3-point shooter in the clutch than Steph. He's actually one of the best 3-point shooters. He shoots 46.2% from three in the clutch. That's insane.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, his stats in the clutch are good. It's just a feel thing for me. He felt like he was bad in the clutch every time. Not bad, but, like, it feels like he just gets used a ton in, like, his, like, last second shots, like, never fucking go in. Like, he has had one this year.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I don't want to keep harping on it because he's not eligible, but Kyrie is 58.8, 46.7, 92.9 is his percentages in the clutch.
Yeah, he's insane in the clutch. The one thing I'll say about Kyrie in the clutch compared to these other two dudes is that I don't know if he takes the most clutch shots on his team.
Right.
And that will help his percentages. But he feels like he should be in this conversation, at least from what
he's really, especially, he hit the most recent game winner that I can remember.
That weird, like, hook shot one?
Yeah. Like, actual game winner, because there's the most recent one's probably the dagger from
Hunter yesterday.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest shot I've seen
in a while. It's so dumb.
It's like the lowest IQ rebound shot of all time.
With less than 10 seconds. There's 14 seconds on the shot clock after a rebound. And they're up by one. Just hold it. But thank God he hit it.
You can see his teammates have, like, their hands on their head. Like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
And they all get so hyped.
All right.
Yeah, this was such a weird one. I don't know why I went so deep in the stats, but also the highest plus minus, this is total, and this has to do with playing a lot of clutch minutes. Michael Porter Jr., best plus minus in the clutch.
Makes sense.
And actually, that made me consider Jokic for this award. Jokic was in the run.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, like, Curry, DeRozan, and Lillard, I would imagine most lists have those dudes at the top. Problem with Lillard is it's like, it's kind of another one of those where it's coming waves. If he felt like very not clutch at the beginning of the year, and then he was very clutch in the middle, and then he's been moderately clutch recently. But he was so clutch in that, like, middle section, and his stats, like, are good enough that he has to be in there.
Yeah.
Let's go to Executive of the Year is my pick for the next one. Okay. Who's your Executive of the Year?
Oh, my God. I actually think I didn't do it, which is so funny, because in the text, you gave me a list of all the awards we're doing, and I was like, let's do Executive of the Year, too. But I'm going to give it to, what's the guy's name? shoot, who's the Boston guy?
Brad Stevens.
It's Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens is my first pick.
Yeah.
Raphael Stone, executive of the Houston Rockets, is my second pick.
Okay, yeah.
And then my third pick is Nico Harrison, executive of the Dallas Mavericks. Stevens is obvious.
Yeah. He
makes the big swing for to get Porzingis, and then another big swing to get Drew. I mean, turned over basically everything other than the two main guys on the team. Smart's out the door, Grant's out the door, Rob Williams is out the door, and then they basically completely
been the most dominant team.
Yeah, and then they've been awesome. So that's easy. Houston, like, even though like people will laugh and be like, oh, 11th place is, like, so sick now. Like, people, like, Houston was bad last year. Yeah. They had about the same amount of wins as, like, Detroit last year. People
were clapping them because they were like, oh, we're going to have, like, I forgot what they're calling it, three waves or three three tiers to our rebuild or whatever. And then this one is the we're trying to be competitive. And they actually have been pretty competitive. Like, they are only one game behind the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm checking that right now. They're half a game back of the Warriors.
Half a game back, yeah. And
they make the play. I pray if they make the play and the Warriors don't. I love watching. I mean, I actually don't pray for that because Steph versus LeBron in the play-in is just way more fun. But watching Warriors fans be sad is so funny. Same with Lakers. Honestly, both those fan bases suck. But Houston 9-1 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Really good. And they've been good.
And it was like 7 in a row is in that, right? I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think was just broken, like, either last game or two games ago.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and then as for Dallas, I think re-signing Kyrie was awesome. And, like, people kind of forget that, like, people were like, oh, are you really going to want to re-sign Kyrie? Are you sure about that? You were always hard on, like, the, like, why the fuck wouldn't you re-sign? I would give him the Supermax, 5 years, $50 million per. Who cares?
I don't know if I would have said that.
Yeah, but, like, essentially you were like, whatever he wants, you give it to him. And, like, so, like, that was smart. And to have it only be a three-year contract, I think, is also very smart instead of a four-year contract. I love the Derek Lively pick at 11. It's one of the better value picks in the draft. Jaime Jaquez was another nice value pick, but Derek Lively's kind of in that same range of, like, really value.
Well, those two will probably come up later.
For sure. and then I think picking up Gafford and Washington at the trade deadline are both very nice pickups.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm a big fan of using the picks now to get those players in.
Exactly.
Especially because you get about 3 years of control on both of them. They have about $16, $17 million contracts. So they're very movable. They're both young players. So, like, you can...
Right, they're not going to decline.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought Nico Harrison had a good year. Yeah, he is 27.
Oh, wow. Okay, I thought he was in his 30s.
No. Him and Wendell Carter were around the same age on Chicago, and then they lost both those centers.
He's on Wendell Carter?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, okay.
If I'm not mistaken. Nah. 25. Oh, he's 25? He's
even younger. He's super young.
Yeah, he's 2019 draft. So that's, what is that, Ant-Man draft? Oh, no, Zion draft.
Okay.
Still.
Yeah, that's still so young. Holy shit, I had no idea he was that young. All right, let's go to... All right, we'll stay in front office-ish territory. Let's go coach of the year.
Okay, my pick was Jamal Mosley.
Okay, he's second for me. It's Mark Daigneault.
Okay, Chris Finch is your third?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But Jamal Mosley is a great pick.
I won't lie to you. I basically looked at the preseason projections for all the teams and was like, who overperformed the most?
True.
And the Magic overperformed the most. OKC was second.
Right. You know, like, well, you actually did think that the Magic were going to be good, but almost nobody else thought that would be true. I definitely did. And
either Mosley or Daigneault winning it, much deserved. Like, one of them is, like, obviously Daigneault has a lot more tools to use than Mosley, but that's why his team has, like, 15 more wins. like, one team was supposed to be, like, outside of the play-in, maybe getting the 10-9 spot, and is, I mean, I think they're the 6th seed right now. Like, yeah, they're the 5 seed. Like, they're like, 3 games up from being in the play-in. Mm-hmm. Like, they're probably won't have to deal with the play-in.
I bet you some people predicted insane. Them out of the play-in.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And then OKC is, I mean, second place in the conference, like, insanely good season, 49 wins already. Like, they're going to hit 50 wins within the next game or two.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, usually coach of the year does just go, especially when you have one team that's so dominant, but, like, Joe Mazzulla is, like, the fourth coach we've seen make a great Celtics team. And it's like, the team's just so good. And I don't necessarily think he's that great of a coach. Obviously, we're not like experts on X's and O's and shit like that. But from what I hear, he's not the greatest at it.
Also, I thought that team was going to be really fucking good. Well, for me, as soon as I heard they got Porzingis, I was like, holy shit, they're going to be really good. And then, like, it's like, oh, wait, they're getting Jrue Holiday as well?
Right.
Like, it's over. Like, I don't think anybody, especially once the Jrue Holiday thing came around, I don't think anybody was like, oh, they're not going to be that good.
Yeah, like, Adrian Griffin could have coached this team for one season.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, I was going to say that I kind of felt like Tyronn Lue really had a chance at this award because they had such a shit start.
And really turned that team around.
But then the team kind of turned around again.
Yeah.
They're being a little bit bad or kind of just kind of mid. But yeah, no, I wrote my notes. No one saw the Magic coming. So most of these great
things. And the problem with the Clippers sliding like that is like, if they slide down enough that they got like OKC in the first round, like that is a disaster. They were on like Sacramento first rounds, like fucking, like they were on like, we might even get like the Lakers or like Golden State first round watch at home. And now it's like, oh, we're going to have to play we're going to have to win at least a couple games in Oklahoma City.
Right.
Fuck me.
And? If they lose that, it's like that's just such high pressure games because it's like, man, we lost that trade if it doesn't go well.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, oh my God.
That would be a crazy series.
That would be an insane series. What award do you want to do next? How many more do we even have?
Coach.
Oh, you picked coach. It's my turn.
Yeah.
We have three awards left?
And then the all teams. Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to save the big one for last unless you fuck me and take it on the next one. I'm going to go Sixth Man of the Year on this one.
Okay.
The last interesting award. Well, not the last interesting one because we have the big one in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth Man of the Year. Who's your pick for that?
I kind of wanted to be spicy, but I think it's just Malik Monk.
I think it is. I love Norm Powell. I really wanted to put Norm Powell in.
Hyper efficient. Only 1.6 less points than Monk. But, like, the assists are down, and, like, Monk kind of ends up being the guy a lot of the time. And
Monk, if you were like, yeah, I had Monk as my third player for Clutch Player of the Year, I would be like, you're crazy, but I wouldn't be like, you're trolling. I wouldn't
exactly.
Like, he feels like, and, like, Fox obviously gets the ball a lot in the clutch moments, but it feels like it's 50-50 with those guys.
For real, it actually does.
Which is what they kind of did in the playoffs last year, and what makes them really scary down the stretch is to have two guards that can basically create a shot of nothing. Like, holy fuck.
Exactly.
He's the prototypical six man as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, mine was Monk, then Norm Powell, then Naz Reid.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Same.
Naz Reid also so good from three. So
efficient. Yeah. The problem with like Naz Reid and to a lesser extent Malik Monk, Naz Reid is a brutal defender. He's right. So not good. Well, the problem is he can't defend at the five.
Mm-hmm, which should be
his position.
Exactly. Yeah. It's way more noticeable.
Yeah. And so like, and then when you run him with Gobert, like he's not mobile enough for four at all. Norm Powell's the only like average defender to above average of the three of them. Monk is fine. Monk's more passable than like your Lou Williams of the world, right. Like your classic ones, but he's not that good.
No.
So what's the next award that you want?
MVP. No, we're going to do rookie of the year. Yeah, this one's free. I feel like it's just a lock. It's Wemby, then Chet, then Brandon Miller.
Grady Dick. Then Javon Freeman Liberty. Then do we have any other
rookies? Jonte Porter.
No, Jonte Porter's a second year player, funnily enough.
Four.
Carden. DJ Carden.
DJ Carden, yeah.
But yeah, no, it's Wemby, it's Holmgren, it's Miller. If you were like, I'm going to put Hawkes as my third
instead
pick.
Instead of Miller, yeah.
Instead of Miller, that's the only change that I would be even semi-okay with.
I agree.
But it's those three guys. But those three guys will have really bright futures. This is a very strong rookie class.
It is.
Like, the fact that Hawkes doesn't get into the top three is insane. Like, I don't know who was third in rookie of the year last year, but, like, it felt like it was Paolo, and then, like, I can't even tell
everyone
you
else.
Second.
Exactly.
And Paolo would maybe be third in this. Like, it would be a legit argument between Paolo's rookie season and Chet this year.
For real.
Yeah.
I'd probably end up giving it to Paolo just because he's the guy, but...
Sure. No, we don't have to. We don't have to worry about that. Yeah, shout out Brandon Miller. Really, really solid season. Just sucks that team is fucking like
so bad.
So bad. And like, we talked about like dudes who are good injury stories before. Like, LaMelo Ball is starting to slip into like can you please stay healthy for a season for me? Like, please. And, like, it's not so good. Hopefully they got a high draft pick and they can turn stuff around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said they're not going to re-sign. They're planning on not re-signing
Bridges. That was a few months ago, though. We'll see. I mean, Bridges has been the best player on their team this year, so we'll see. MVP.
Mm-hmm.
What's, you're going to fucking say Shea, aren't you?
No, that's you.
Okay. Because you've been hitting me with, like, the little bits. Like, I put some money on Shea. Like, oh, if they keep on playing well. The problem with Shea is he had the high, like, he had the one versus the four, and that's when it was like, ooh, okay. And now Jokic has the higher seed.
So, yeah.
Who's your third pick, Giannis?
No, mine's actually Tatum.
Whoa! Tatum would have been fifth for me, but I think three through five are all very, very close.
I don't know why I didn't even look at Giannis. Probably because they started so bad. But for me, it was between Tatum and Luka. And, like, Luka literally is in the play-in right now. Like, there's a chance he doesn't even get to play in the playoffs.
The thing is, he averages, like, 33, 10, 34. 7 or something like that. Like, he's...
I think I have it. I think he... No, I don't have it. I swear I wrote this down somewhere. But yeah, Luka... Well, I have it. 34, 9.9, and 9.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But yeah.
But he's just in the plan. Giannis is actually a good pick. I will say, Celtics are 4-1 without Tatum, which is actually something weird. Because normally, actually, even though they seem like such a well-rounded team, in previous years, they've been really bad without Tatum. But this year is not true.
Yeah, well, like, the thing is for a regular season game, like, Brown is passable as a one option. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Porzingis is passable as a number two option. And then Derek White is, like, kind of good as a number three exactly. option. And then Jrue Holiday's amazing as a number four yeah. option. And Al Horford is, like, insane as a number five right. option. Like, exactly. It feels like... Like, because they have those five starters who are basically all-star level players. Mm-hmm. And then Al Horford is, like, basically is, like, taking father time behind the shed and beating the fuck out of him right now.
Yeah,
it feels like he's, like, has he lost a single step, like, in the past, like, 2 years? Like, I saw somebody post recently that they were, like, when he got traded to OKC, I thought he was done. That was, like, 4 years ago.
I think his actual peak was when they faced Milwaukee in the playoffs, and he's kind of a little bit going to toe-to-toe with Giannis. Yeah. That was insane.
Yeah. Al Horford, Brooke Lopez, a couple old-ass centers still doing it on really good teams.
But I do got to give respect. DeBoston's so dominant that I got to give him some flowers. And especially because, like, they are so complete, but the other guys aren't going to get any awards. Like, I do want to give Tatum some shout-out.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Hey, man, hopefully third-team All-NBA is good enough for him. We'll get your All-NBA team.
There's no way he's on your third team.
Let's go least to most important for the teams. So we'll do rookies, defense, All-NBA. All-rookie first team. I mean, like, as we said before, Wemby, Chet, Brandon Miller, Jaime Jaquez, and Derek Lively is my fifth.
I put Amen Thompson.
I actually had Amen Thompson on zero of my teams.
What?
Yeah.
The one thing... is his stats are just slightly worse than Lively. But the one thing I really like is recently he's been way better than Derek Lively.
Oh,
and Derek
for sure.
Lively feels he's kind of going to stagnate. And this is, I do understand, this is just a word for how good they've been. But I am kind of like, I am more excited. Like, the Rockets are happier to have Amen Thompson over Derek Lively. Like, way more happier. And the fact, and the, you're a rookie, so I... give you a pass for the early season, and if you're playing good late, I'm going to give you he just got a little bit of a nudge for me.
Fair. I did not have Amen Thompson in any of my teams. That's crazy. Had such a brutal beginning of the year. He's missed a lot of games, so he might not be eligible. Oh, actually, all rookies doesn't matter.
Oh, that's right.
The games. But yeah, I just said Derek Lively. Derek Lively, like, impacts, like, winning a little bit more, and the only reason his stats are down recently isn't because he's been worse, it's because they traded for Daniel Gafford, who plays the exact same position and play style as him, and, like, realistically, they've kind of been, like, that center rotation has been really fucking good for them, and Lively really started to lose minutes when Gafford hit 36 shots in a row.
Yeah, he almost broke the record, right?
Yeah, I mean, Gafford is, like, he's, like, one of those players this year where, like, obviously, he's not going to get flowers because he's, like, a, like, role player on a play-in team. Yeah. And then he was, like, a high-value role player on, like, one of the worst team in the league, arguably, earlier in the year. But he's been so fucking good this year, and like, what a nice pickup. That's one of the reasons, that's what gets you third in executive of the year, is pickups nice. Like that. On my second team, stop me if you don't have him.
Okay.
I have Pods.
Podziemski?
Yeah.
Yep.
I have Scoot Henderson.
No.
Oh, wow. You're crazy. That you're going to give me the whole, like, I like to look at, they're way happier because they have Amen Thompson. Scoot's been better than Amen Thompson this year, dead ass. He puts up, like, six more points per game, and is, like, Amen Thompson's one of the few rookies who's less efficient than Scoot Henderson. And Scoot Henderson playmakes. He, like, the offense runs through him when he's on the floor. Like, the defense for Amen Thompson's good. Don't get me wrong.
No, I don't. Mine's Derek Lively.
Okay.
Podziemski.
Okay.
Keontae George.
Of course. I thought about, he was, like, one of the dudes I was thinking about playing on the first team.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, since Jaw got injured, I have not watched that team.
No, that's not Jaw's team. He plays on Utah.
Oh, he's on Utah. My bad. Well, I don't watch them either.
I don't watch a ton of them, but he like runs shit when he's on the floor, which is very impressive.
Another shout out for being really nice, really good recently. GG Jackson.
GG Jackson did not make my team. He's been a little too inconsistent for me.
Okay, and then. Trace Jackson Davis.
Oh, I love the Trace Jackson Davis pick. My team is Brandon Podziemski, Scoot Henderson, Keontae George, Cason Wallace, and Assar Thompson.
Okay. Assar made it over Amen?
Yeah, I thought Assar's early season's better than Amen's late season, and Amen's early season's worse than Assar's late season.
Assar hasn't even played since like January, like basically this year.
He was really good early in the season.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
He's the best defensive player in this class other than the two like giants at the top.
Right. Or maybe Derek Lively.
Yeah, maybe. I think you can find more Derek Lively's than Assar Thompson.
Yeah, you're right.
Cason Wallace, I'm surprised he didn't have. He shoots like over 40% and plays legit minutes on an OKC team that wins games. And he's the main point of attack defender on their bench and is like kind of really good defensive guard. But he's also kind of like, do you want to, like, the thing with rookie team is like, you don't have to reward players who are role players on really good teams. I'm going to shout him out. Over 40%. Like, he's like, got more of like I see a defined role for him than like the Thompson twins for me, where I'm like, he's obviously gonna
play.
Did
you
like
try your best to get Grady Dick on this list?
No.
You looked at him?
No. I didn't even look
terrible at him. Stout,
I didn't even look at him. Bro, you want to talk about somebody having a bad early season?
Yeah.
Like, nobody on this list had like a week as bad as Grady Dick's first 3 months of the season.
Yeah, that's true. He was literally bad in the 905.
All right, let's go to the all defense teams.
Okay. So I imagine this is just going to be basically, because we only changed on one. So it's Gobert, Wemby, Jared Allen, Bam Adebayo, right?
No, I don't have Jared Allen on my first. Wow. I have him on my second.
Were you going position?
No.
Really? You still think you'd second team?
Yeah.
I think the Cavs are one of the best defensive teams.
I know, but they have Evan Mobley as well.
True. Okay, fair enough.
And Evan Mobley's missed some games, which is the reason that Jared Allen gets on the team over Evan Mobley. But and Isaac Okoro also has really good defensive stats.
Okay.
I had a hard time leaving him off, but he was the first guy on my second team.
That and then Anthony Davis is my fifth. Who's your fifth?
The exact same, but I switched out Jared Allen for Chet Holmgren.
Oh, okay.
OKC is an even better defensive team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Right. And they're another team where, like, Shea's good, Jalen Williams, they got a lot of good guys. But yeah. Chet's just so good. Yeah, Dort. And then maybe their best non-Chet defender.
Yeah.
I don't think so, though. Second team, yeah. I have Jared Allen. Do you have Chet on your second team?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
So what's the other four? Okay, let's see if we're on the same page. Which of these guys do I most think? Do you have Giannis Antetokounmpo on your second team? Okay. Do you have Derek White on your second
team? I do.
Okay. So we have two more spots. Do you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on your second
team? No. You do?
Yes, I do. Oh, he's been... He's like... Shout out Shai, man. He's good at fucking
awesome.
Every day. and Herb Jones is my last one.
Oh, okay.
So who do you have?
I do have Herb. I do.
So who do you have instead of Shai? You have one switcheroo with
I have Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, my God. I'm not too angry about leaving him off, but that's really good. Like, him and Shai is a real good toss-up for me.
I really also really, really wanted to have a Magic on it, because they're, like, so good defensively.
Yeah, if it was positioned, then Suggs would almost guaranteed make it as one of the guard spots,
exactly.
But he's just not quite there to make. Exactly. There's a third team he'd be on.
Yeah.
But he's not quite there.
Yeah.
I think Suggs, you're going to make tons of all defense teams mm-hmm. in your career.
I was like, oh, Gage for sure has Jalen Suggs.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're a really good defense and he's a really good defender. Like, I love that how good that Magic team is this year.
It's Magic.
I know, and they have a lot of money this offseason. I want them to do something fun. I want them to get James Harden, like I said, like three podcasts ago. If the Clippers blow up, get James Harden and deadass win James Harden a championship next year. James Harden, there's no good strip clubs in Orlando. You guys will be fine. You guys will be chilling.
I'm pretty sure there are. shout out to AD for the all-defensive first team.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Just it's more hitting the game's minimum. He's one of those guys that should retire with a DPOY, but probably honestly won't at this point. Probably a little too old for that.
When we were doing DPOY, I thought of him. I gave him some real genuine thoughts to put as like the third guy.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say because Gobert is such a lock.
I know. Yeah. The thing is, like, when he's off the floor for that Lakers team, they're so bad defensively.
Yeah.
But also, like, part of that is, like, their backup center situation is, like, Christian Wood and Jackson Hayes. So, yeah. Like, it's not like, if they were that much noticeably better with him on the floor, but then the backup center was, like, Dwight Powell, or, like, right. a backup center who's, like, serviceable Solid. Defensively, then I'd be like, oh, okay, nice. Right,
but those are actually, like, trash.
Yeah. Like, Christian Wood might be the worst defensive center in the league.
Literally.
And Jackson Hayes is bad. He used to be decent, because he's athletic, but he's too jumpy, mm-hmm. I find, at least.
Also,
shout out Herb Jones.
I agree. Best defender on the sixth defense.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like, he's such a perfect role player.
Yeah,
they got so many good role players on that team. I love that New Orleans, like, the way that they built that roster mm-hmm. and drafted that team. Like, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, like, Dyson Daniels seemed to be picking some stuff up this year before mm-hmm. he got hurt. Valanciunas is great on that team. They're going to have to make a decision with him this summer, but I don't think he's going to be that expensive. Yeah. He's not going to ask for that much money. And I would bring him back just because, like...
The Kelly Olynyk contract.
No, he'll probably get more. He'll probably get the... I don't know. Like, what did Vucevic get? Because it's going to be less than that. Because Vucevic got overpaid. I think he got three years, 20 each.
Yeah.
Come on, Chicago. Come on, Chicago. What the fuck are you guys doing?
I mean, Vucevic, though, led to DeRozan, which was nice. Because, true. And Chicago fans at this point are probably wishing that that didn't happen. They're capping. They loved that first season of DeRozan. That was, like, that was worth it to them, I think.
Fun fact, Vucevic has won as many playoff games on the Chicago Bulls as he did on the Orlando Magic. His two best players with him on the Orlando Magic were Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier. His two best players with him in Chicago are Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. So I don't think it has exactly worked out, the Vucevic era in Chicago.
Evan Fournier has gone on to win a few rounds in the playoffs, and Aaron Gordon has gone to win a championship.
Well, Fournier's out of the league now, unfortunately.
Not unfortunately.
I just, honestly, shout out Fitz. Fitz was an Evan Fournier hater before
he was.
He hated Evan Fournier.
He saw.
he saw the vision. Fitz, honestly, like, as far as an NBA fan goes, is like an all-time hater. He is so good at hating. He is so good at hating. Like, he'll like love a player and then start hating on them for no reason. Like, he used to be so high on Booker, and then he was like, I don't want to play with you anymore.
If he loves a team, you pick him to win their conference and then lose in the finals. That happened like 3 years in a row. It was like Miami, Phoenix,
even like Dallas. He was a big fan of Dallas when they made the conference finals. All right, let's get to the All-NBA teams.
Ooh,
first team, write it in pen.
Yes, I have.
Nikola Jokic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic, and Grady Dick, right?
Yes, sir.
And Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Those are the five. And those are just the five. Nobody comes close to those five players.
I agree.
In my opinion. MVP, for MVP ballot, MVP ballots, you get to pick your top five. And, like, realistically, there should only be five guys.
Right.
Steph's going to get some votes, you know, just because he's Steph Curry. LeBron will get some votes because he's LeBron James, you know. But, like, those five are just the five best players in the league. All right, let's go to the second team. Let's both name one player. Name a player who you would say I guaranteed have on my second team.
Jalen Brunson?
Yes. Kawhi Leonard?
No, third team.
Okay, I have Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, yeah.
I have DeMontis Sabonis.
Oh, Sabonis doesn't make an All-NBA team for me.
Sabonis, I thought about putting him over Luka. He puts up comparable, like not comparable as in, like, doing the exact same stats, but comparably impressive stat lines. Right. His team actually fucking wins. And, like, how much better is Fox than Kyrie, realistically? I mean, he's better, but, like, also, I like Gafford and I like Washington more than, like, bum-ass Harrison Barnes and bum-ass Kevin Herter.
Right.
Anyway. Malik Monk. Yeah, Malik Monk is really fucking good. He's no Dante Axum. I mean, anyway, yeah, I have Curry, I have Kawhi, I have Sabonis, I have Brunson, and I have Anthony Edwards as my second team.
Okay, I did Edwards, Curry, Brunson, KD, and Booker.
Okay, yeah, I have KD and Booker on my third team, along with the two Lakers.
Yeah, I do have the two Lakers.
And Tyrese Haliburton.
I have Haliburton, so mine's Kawhi, LeBron, De'Aaron Fox, Haliburton, and Anthony Davis. De'Aaron Fox is still like 27 a game.
De'Aaron Fox has not been better than Domantas Sabonis this year.
I think Sabonis just hit a streak of something like 60 double doubles in a row. Like
most double doubles in a row since the 1973-74 season.
Who set that? Like Moses Malone or something?
It was Kevin Love before him. But now it's like in 73-74, it was like Walt Bellamy or something. Okay. The top 10 was, if I remember correctly, Wilt Chamberlain, Elvin Hayes, Wilt Chamberlain, Elvin Hayes again. I'm pretty sure was what the top 10 was.
That makes sense. That's a lot of stats. A few stats end up like that.
Yeah. I had to give second team to Sabonis. He's had such a statistically in. He gets the Luka shit where it's like, you don't win that many games for how good your stats are, but like, come on. Like, you're putting up those also, stats.
I just feel like he's not the best player on his team. Like, I think Fox is just a better player. Like, I really wanted to actually give it to a Pelican, but I was like, they're really close too. And then I would have given it to Zion just because he's the better player. But then I was like, nah, I can't give it to a Pelican.
Fox was my 16th man. If Mitchell was healthy for longer, I would have had him in over Booker. I would not have had Booker on my 13th, but... I just think Booker, for somebody who's gonna scrape by on the games thing, has not been that impressive.
Hasn't blown you
under the water. Like, he's All-NBA, so my All-NBA team. Yeah. But, like, yeah, like, if he was, like, an 80-game player, then I'd be like, yeah, for sure. But, he, like, since... I do, even though everyone has to hit that minimum, I still do dock him games for playing for 10 less close. Games than like a Sabonis or a, I'm trying to think of somebody else who plays a ton of games on this list. Anthony Edwards has played a ton of games. Yeah. Brunson feels like he's played a ton of games. Brunson, like, shout out, second team All-NBA. Like,
and his stats are crazy, dude, to back it up. Like, he's the guy on a very good team, and, like, he puts up numbers.
And that team has been injury plagued outside of him. Like, the fact that they're even, like, semi-competitive.
Four seed now? Five seed? You have it open.
I do have it open. Four seed, yeah. They're not going to catch up with Cleveland. Fun fact about Cleveland, Cleveland plays Charlotte two of their next eight games to finish, like, this season.
You see the Suns for their remaining games. Every single team they're facing is in the playoffs currently.
Oh, really?
Including the top six in the all top six in the West.
Damn, Washington's two wins up on Detroit. I'm looking at this.
I know.
It might be over.
It's officially over.
Shout out Washington. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, at this
Let's
point, just Washington. Don't be that team, and they deliver.
Yeah, for sure.
It's actually so funny because actually I was looking back. He's just saying that he's making fun of us for anything. He's saying at that point, don't be the team to lose to Detroit.
Yeah. Well, Toronto's on an 11 game losing streak right now. So
the most in the league.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Thank fucking God.
We're the only team that has lost all of our last 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
We really need Portland to pick it up and win some games down the stretch. We're only four games off of them now, which is insane. Yeah.
Okay. We're really getting insane. Trying for this pick.
Yeah, I mean, like we're four games worse than Brooklyn after losing to them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. And like the thing is, like, it feels like we lose to Charlotte a lot. We've lost to Washington this year. We've lost to Detroit. I don't think we've lost to San Antonio. We have lost to Portland. We've lost to Memphis. Like, our record against teams that are worse than us is probably...
No, we have lost to San Antonio. I remember that.
I know we had a close one where we came back by a 20-point game. Oh, I don't know if there's another one that we lost. I'm sure.
No, when Wemby has 10 blocks. Yeah, triple double
blocks.
Maybe
it's by, like, 30 or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, our record is better against the teams that are better than us than worse than us. All the teams are worse. Like, Charlotte, I think, is like 3-0 against us. I swear to God. I swear to God. They were beating us when we were like a legitimate team.
You're right.
Like, in December, both Charlotte and Detroit only won one game all month, and yes, they were both against us.
I remember
us.
You mentioned that on one of our podcasts.
That's a fucking insane stat. We're like a legit dumpster fire team this year. Like, it's crazy. Like, once we traded all our dudes and the other guys got hurt,
yeah.
Like, this season's been more of a failure.
Professional tankers.
This season's been more of a failure than the Tampa season, and I did not think it could get worse than that.
I don't know. That one, we were really trying to compete. This one, we're trying to lose, kind of.
Like, kind of, but, like, there's a chance that we do all this losing and don't even get our own pick. Like, right. We got Scotty Barnes out of that season. There's a chance we get nobody yeah, out of this season. Facts. I mean, we have other picks in this draft.
Do you know what the percentage is? Because I remember it was, like, 50-50 at one point.
It's, like, 40, I think. 40%, maybe a little less. Maybe
it's, oh, my. So it's still unlikely.
Yeah, Memphis, who has one game more than us, has won one more game than us. If they drop below us, I think it's like a 35% chance that we keep it. But as it stands, I think it's like 44%.
Oh my
Let
God.
Me check.
So we're not even favored to keep
it. No.
Yeah, because you were saying there's a chance we don't even keep the pick. Like, it's likely then.
Yeah,
barely, no. But still.
This is the wrong tool for that. NBA lottery odds. Oh, man. If we don't keep our... The only nice thing is like, the pick goes down the line 2 more years from now. So, what is that? 9 plus 9.2, 18.2, 27.6, 36, 37.2, 40, 45.8% chance currently that we keep our pick. Yeah.
It's impossible for us to get the fifth pick? Why?
Because the top four are the only ones that get decided through the lottery.
Oh, and we're not the fifth worst
team. Yeah, and you can't jump up one spot.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, man.
Oh, so that's what you're saying. If we have Portland's odds, then we...
Yeah, they only have a... They only have...
Oh, we're very likely if we can get Portland's.
Yeah, we would have like a 64% chance as opposed to like whatever we have right now. But I don't think we're going to do that. And if anything, we're going to drop to Memphis. And as I said, Memphis, like... 15.3, 23.4, 31.9% chance to keep our pick if we fall down to that spot. And they're only, and like Memphis is like, could, like, if we win one game, like Memphis might not win another game this season. And like, we're in the same boat. But like, oh my, as I was saying before though, before I was doing the quick maths, we like, are this pick defers year after year the next 2 years,
mm-hmm.
where it's top six protected again next year and the year after that. We're probably gonna be a bottom 10 team for the next 2 or 3 years, so like, you would think that it's gonna defer
some, get out of the way.
Yeah,
then the tank
will probably be just as bad next year. Like, I see no, like, unless Scotty becomes an all-NBA player, which he could. Hey, I didn't expect this year's jump, and like a full healthy season, like, he could take a step, but like, there's no, we're not gonna pick up a big name free agent. Like, no. We're not gonna, like,
we had Kyle and DeMar.
Yeah,
no one's gonna enjoy the.
Yeah, our big name free agents were like Damari Carroll. Like, wow, we got Corey Joseph once. Wow.
Honestly, our big name free agent was Otto Porter.
Yeah. Oh my god. But
those are the LMB teams. Those are perfect.
Yeah, those are the
one of between the two of us.
Yeah, one is perfect. Can't believe you didn't have Sabonis at all. Maybe honestly, like. You can't give it to two kings. So if you have Fox in there, it makes a bit of sense. But wait, I mean, like, you kind of can't.
Well, I give it to two kings. I have LeBron.
Yeah, give it to two Lakers. And the Lakers are so much worse.
I know. I hated doing that.
I almost.
Like, they're just better.
LeBron, as I said, Booker is like the last dude on that team. LeBron's second last. LeBron is like, you know, hanging on by a thread to third team All NBA.
Yeah.
If Mitchell was healthy, he would get a third team spot for sure for me.
Yeah, he might be second.
And then if Embiid was healthy, he'd be first.
Yeah, team. Exactly.
But that's fine. Every year there's a couple players who are hurt. And I don't know how much it affects Mitchell. Because I think because he only would have been third team anyway, that the fact that he's going to only play 50 games is like would knock him off.
Mm-hmm.
But like, let's take Embiid. Like, if Embiid, he only played 35 games, so like there's no way he'd make a team. But if he played that one, played 55 games, like he might just still make first team.
Right, on the previous rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's the awards.
I like it.
We did very, very good. We did very, very good.
Let's go over the winners, not the All-NBAs.
Mm-hmm.
So just a quick rundown. Our MVP is Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Our Defensive Player of the Year is Rudy Gobert. Most improved player. Mine's Tyrese Maxey. Yours is
Cam Thomas.
Cam Thomas. Sixth man of the year is Malik Monk. Coach of the year is Mark Daigneault.
I had Jamal Mosley.
Oh, right. Yeah. I like that too. Yeah, if we're going to submit a ballot together, we can do Mosley. Executive of the year is Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Stevens. Rookie of the year is Wemby. And clutch player of the year is yours is Steph, mine's DeMar.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you'll give, if we're doing a joint ballot and you'll give me the coach of the year, I'll give you the clutch player of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of the awards were, like, very, very, like, rookie of the year was, like,
yeah,
ridiculously easy. Sixth man of the year, I thought it would be closer, but it's kind of, like, when you look at the stats, it's like, ah, huh. It's exactly. Just Malik Monk.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought executive of the year is outside rookie of the year actually probably the most.
Yeah,
free. It could even be more free than rookie of the year. Like Brad Stevens did such a good job with Boston this offseason. Like not only do they have this great record, but like 40% of their starting lineup is players who were acquired in trades in the offseason. Yeah. Like they had to give up players for them. And like none of the players, like Grant Williams hasn't been like great this year. Mm-hmm. Rob Williams is like, it's played? Done. Yeah, he played like what, the first five games of the season. Brogdon has been hurt all year, basically. Yep.
He was solid when he played though, but yeah.
Yeah, but how many games has he played? Do you think like 30 maybe? And I mean, like if he was on a team that cared, I bet you he'd be back by now.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say team that care. A team that doesn't have future MVP Delano Banton on it.
Do you know who has the most points in the clutch per minute or per game? Points per game in the clutch. It's X-Raptor. About as good as Delano Banton.
Oh, is it actually an X-Raptor? Currently as good as Delano Banton?
Probably not as good currently. But when they're on the Raptors, they're about as good.
Who is that bad? He's like a former Raptor. Stanley Johnson's not in the league.
Just say it.
And I feel like I've got to be able to get this eventually. Most points in the clutch.
The problem, it's just per game. He's not total. He's not even close to total because he's played so few in the clutch.
I
think maybe only one game in the clutch.
I know who it is. He just got picked up by Washington. This one game was in Washington, and he was smacking. Oh my god! Now you just have to tell me,
Justin Chippenny.
Yeah, it's Justin Chippenny because I saw him on Washington recently, and I was like, they're playing this guy clutch time. Like, what the fuck? He was good. Yeah.
Most clutch games, more than half. It's 49 clutch games he's been in. Pascal Siakam.
Like, what the fuck? Is he a dunk against the Clippers like last time that they played? Oh my god! Like,
I saw it was a blowout. So
he like absolutely punched it. It feels like he doesn't have that many dunks for how athletic he is, right. But when he does, he's a big. He likes to flex on people.
Shake his head while he's flexing. I miss you, Pascal.
I miss Pascal too. Those were times when we used to be a real team.
For real.
What was the Plumlee clutch stat?
Second best plus minus in the clutch per game.
He's a clutch player. He's a clutch guy. Is he under contract next year?
You know, at the end of The Incredibles, when they have Dash do the race, and then he's like, he blows ahead, and then Mr. Incredible's like, no, make it close. Yeah. That's Mason Plumlee. He's a god, but they can't, like, they don't want, like, people to know, so they play him real limited minutes.
Oh my god, man. Like, what can't he do? He just elite offensive player. His dribble moves are tight. He's got court vision for days.
Facts.
He's defensive stopper. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. Is he
simply
realistically? Is he closer to Daniel Tice or is he closer to Kelly Olynyk?
He's closer to Daniel Tice for sure.
I think he's closer to Kelly Olynyk. Oh, that's nice. The range that he's in for me.
I mean, he's closer to Wilt Chamberlain than
he's closer to Wilt Chamberlain than he is to Hakeem Olajuwon.